Good afternoon, folks. This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. This week, we have a special guest, and he is a retired general, United States Army. He retired in 2005. Some people would say he was one of our foremost experts on China at one point. And right now, he is in a volunteer position, which is a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army. And Neil Seelock is one of the best people that I've had a chance to get to know during my time doing what I do. And he really cares about the community. He cares about service to this country. He has shown that through his dedication and taking on another role for society, really. And I really appreciate the fact that you did that. Neil, why don't you give folks just a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about a program that you're pushing forward as a way to help our youth prepare for, you know, SATs, ACTs, the ASVAB, because it seems like we may be in a little trouble when it comes down to people even being able to meet the minimum requirements to serve in our nation's armed forces.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Sheriff Ozzy. It's tremendous to be here and have an opportunity to talk about our great program that we think we're launching in just the right time. It's called March to Success. That's March with the number 2 and success. And we'll get into the details of that here in a bit. You asked me to mention a little bit about me. It's not about me, and as you know, I'm here for why. And just as Simon Sinek, a favorite author of both yourself and mine, says, start with why. And why is about our youth, and it's about our nation. And if we could just get people to put the nation above their self most of the time in all positions and be worthy of the respect of others, we'd have a lot solved in our environment these days. But if we don't take care of our children and we don't provide the opportunity for them to flourish, we're going to really be in a challenge. And that's why we're pushing this particular program. And you'll see more on the part of DOD overall with Secretary Mattis, but in particular in our role as the Army, we're going to have many programs out there for our youth that are intended to set conditions for success for those students and youth to really not only just survive, but to really flourish in whatever they wish to do for the nation. But basically, I grew up in the military myself. My dad was an Air Force non-commissioned officer. We ended up here at Fairchild with the Survival School in 1966. So I went to high school out in the West Plains in Medical Lake, had a great time and a great environment of a values-based school and a lot of coaches and teachers that really cared about what they were putting together out there for us and provided that launching pad that allowed us to move forward. My folks left in 1971, and I went on to Eastern Washington State College at the time, thinking I was going to coach and teach. So physical education was what I was trying to accomplish, and I thought I'd be doing that, but the Army had a different idea. I think my draft number was 19, as I recall, so I knew where I was headed in the early 70s. So determined that I'd strike out and take ROTC here at Eastern Washington, and from there left after commissioning in 1974 with a Ranger tab and ready to go have a great time, and we thought we'd be gone about 2 years. Well, 30 years later, we finally made it home for good, although we made it back for visits, but really knew we wanted to come back to Spokane and to the area here to live. So Donna and I really wanted to do that, so we did. With that, worked with the airport board, asked me to take on a job for about 5 years, and we did all the major projects out there from 2005 to 2010. But another 5 years of 24/7 jobs, I decided, well, it's time to try something different, and had started teaching at Whitworth University as an adjunct professor. Very much enjoyed impacting on youth in that regard, and consulting a little bit back in China and around the nation, as well as South America for a couple of companies for a number of years. But having hit the ripe old age of 65, had an opportunity to take on this volunteer position for the Secretary of the Army. And it's been a real honor to do so, number one, but I think a real opportunity to help our youth in our area, along with many other people that are doing great things for our youth. So that's what we're trying to accomplish.
No, it seems to be a lot of focus, Neil, on our youth right now, in so many ways, and And quite frankly, in many of those ways, it's not in a positive sense. You know, right now, we as a nation are struggling to try to understand school shootings. We're trying to understand what's causing that, what's the mechanism. And, you know, folks, it's not an inanimate object called a gun. That's not it. This comes from a deeper aspect, and I think that much of it comes from the very things that your program may be trying to deal with also. About 7-8 years ago, the Joint Chiefs came out with a statement that the nation's dropout rate was a national emergency. And I know that there was a major focus on that. There was a major focus on that here in the Spokane area. Dr. Shelley Redinger from District 81 took that that very, very seriously. Started working on ways to make sure we keep our kids in school. But it's one thing to keep a kid in school. The other aspect of that is to provide them with the knowledge they need to survive in the real world. And, you know, we see it in my profession. The same issues the military is facing is the same issues that law enforcement is facing right now as far as recruiting. One, not very many people want to do the jobs. The second one is, if they do want to do it, they're not qualified.
Correct.
They just are not qualified. Either they're not qualified in physical fitness, they're not qualified in the academics, because, folks, one of the most important things that a police officer does is write reports, and you have to be able to string words together in such a fashion that we can make sense out of them. The other aspect to that is integrity. We have so many of these kids failing because of the integrity aspect.
Absolutely.
Telling the truth. Simple things that, you know, used to be very, very simple. So the program March to Success, when you start talking about it, it's designed to meet some very severe changes that appear to be going on within our youth. Can you give me an idea of what you're seeing out there as far as the same challenges that we're seeing?
Absolutely correct. And we recognize that we're all competing for that same smaller and smaller pool of qualified and able recruits. And as you mentioned, not only the Joint Chiefs, but in particular the Secretary of the Army indicated that the single most important ingredient to readiness is a constant flow of able and willing and able recruits. And there are over 71% of our population between the ages of 17 and 24 who do not qualify. That's right. That's a scary number. 71% of that population do not qualify either for fitness, weight, moral standards, or academics.
Talk a little bit about what you're seeing as far as, let's say, the physical standards first. You know, we have a lot of kids that, Neil, I'm old, okay? I'm getting older, it seems like, daily. But I can still do our physical fitness as standards of the young recruit.
Absolutely.
But we're seeing kids that cannot do sit-ups. They cannot run. What is that the type of thing you're talking about? And overweight, we do have, you know, if you're overweight, we're not going to hire you.
Right. That's exactly the type of things that we're seeing. So in terms of those scary statistics that I mentioned to you before, of the 71% that don't qualify, 31% of those people are absolutely overweight. That's not an absolute discriminator that's going to keep them from joining the military or participating, but it's a starting point and would require a waiver. Of the remaining, 30% have either a medical or physical challenge that would not allow them to serve. 30% have drug problems, either prescription drug problems or illicit drug problems, that will be a real challenge for military service. 10% have conduct challenges with law enforcement that would require someone to look at closely. 15% have mental health issues that run the gamut from minor to very serious mental challenges. 12% already have dependents. And with two dependents, you are not eligible to enter the service as a young person. 9% have aptitude challenges with educational aspects, cognitive skills, those sorts of things. So that's what's happening. So I guess in trying to establish a baseline for all of this, we're really looking at a dwindling pool of recruits that, as you mentioned, we're not only competing with corporate America with much bigger paychecks and opportunities in some cases, but with first responders, law enforcement, fire, all those important and critical skills that are necessary to our nation, we're competing with all those for that smaller and smaller pool.
Do you find it that right now the economy is very, very, probably the best I've ever seen in the 55 years I've been alive?
Yes, indeed. Very low unemployment rate.
We've never seen it. These are like historic lows. Whenever you have that mix, these type of jobs that we're talking about, that competition with corporate America, it becomes huge. And what we're finding is, you know, we used to get, and folks, this is not trying to be disparaging to anybody, but it's just kind of a reality. We're no longer seeing the A recruit. We're seeing the maybe B or C level recruit. And very few of that A level are heading our way. Is that very much what you're seeing here?
That is absolutely what we're seeing. Our challenge in the military is that our numbers are dictated by Congress. So there, of course, was a question as to whether we were lowering standards. We cannot lower the standards. Each case is judged on a case-by-case basis on waivers and what is necessary. So all the announcements, I think there was a hue and cry, for instance, with the announcement that there were going to be changes based upon drug use or conduct or any of the other aspects that we discussed earlier. Well, it's not that those are automatically given a waiver. Each and every case has to be judged individually from the start all the way up to requirement of the Secretary's approval in some cases. So that is part of what's occurring. Along with that, 90% of all recruits must have a high school diploma. So that's part that's changed, and I know in law enforcement that's also a requirement, and in some cases college is required. And then if they do decide to come in without a high school diploma, they're required to have a GED. So 60% of those must score in the top three categories of the military aptitude test, the ASVAB, which is a vocational battery test, and only less than 4% can be in that lower tier. So that's mandated by Congress. We cannot change that at all. So we are stuck with those. I say stuck. We want to be stuck with those from the standpoint of maintaining the quality of our armed forces being such a critical structure for our nation.
We see the same thing. And sadly, we are seeing some agencies lower their standards.
Right.
I was talking with a commander out of the Boston area, and his agency was actually lowering their standards to the point that they were going to start accepting applications from people with low-level felonies.
Wow.
And I was shocked. I just looked at him and says, you know, sometimes you hire your own problems. I just see nothing good coming out of that. Standards are designed for a reason. And the military, law enforcement, we need good quality people, and we need people that have what it takes to make everybody successful. When you take a look at the recruit that you're seeing today, what if you were talking to a kid today, what are the areas that you'd be telling them to stress if they wanted to come into the military? What part of that curricula, while they're in junior high school, what is it that you think that they should be focusing on? Because this military is much different than the military you joined, the military I joined, because it's so high tech anymore.
Absolutely. What we try to tell them is the same thing I'm sure that law enforcement and other agencies tell their recruits. What we're looking for in an individual is a total person, and you're graded on that total picture of your record. We use the term SAL, SAL, Scholar, Athlete, Leader, as a model for what we're looking for the military. We want somebody that has the cognitive aptitudes to take care of technology, to take care of situational awareness, to be able to make decisions on their own, because that's what we require them to do. We want them to have athletic capabilities and be strong, healthy, and able to take on the rigors of a very demanding lifestyle in the military, and in the Army in particular. Leadership, of course, is across the board. They don't have to have been the student body president, but we ask that they have had some experience. It could be in scouting, it could be in church, it could be in any manner that they've chosen to participate in and shown that leadership potential and have that experience of dealing with individuals and people in the process of their life. If they have that and work on those things as that total picture, remember that, and be able to articulate, just as you mentioned, be able to articulate that, they'll do just fine. But we want to prepare them for a college education, a trade, other things. So it's not an end-all for the military. As you know, some people serve 2 to 4 years and get out. But look what that does back to our communities and back to our nation, and provides that solid example right back there, and somebody that's going to be willing to step up and do the things that are necessary for that community. We think that's very important. We take it very seriously.
All right. Let's talk about March to Success.
Sure. Basically, it's a self-paced course designed to improve students' performance on standardized exams such as SAT, ACTs, statewide exams for trades or other activities.
Is there a cost?
There's no cost at all, nor is there an obligation to that individual. The Secretary and the Chief decided that while the Army tries to take care of its own, both its active duty members, their families, et cetera, in terms of education and training opportunities, we wanted to offer that to help ameliorate this current challenge that we have with cognitive skills in our recruits. So why not? So any child in the states 13 years of age and older has access to this program free of charge with no obligation whatsoever.
How do they make that access? Do they have to contact somebody or go online?
They can go online to March 2 Success. It's March2Success.com, and they can sign up. They will then be in communication with this program run by Petersons, a renowned academic institution that for more than 40 years has provided top-notch and cutting-edge technology for studying. And so they're not talking to a recruiter. They're not talking to anyone else. They're dealing with an academic agency. And this program, which is, again, cutting-edge type of technology to enable them to do that. It concentrates on the STEM subjects, including language arts. It has high school preparation for study skills, language arts, math, and science. It has high school flashcard decks. It has college readiness online course, which has another flashcard deck with it associated with the college experience. STEM areas include social science, thousands of questions, nursing entrance exam practice tests, health occupation aptitude examinations, all sorts of technology practice questions covering information systems, computer applications, introducing computing, management information, and technical writing. Pre-engineering courses, pre-calculus, calculus, and physics. The Science Hub is included in that. And as I mentioned, the SAT, which prepares them for a college experience, ACT, and all of this is, again, free of charge for them to take these practice exams as many times as they wish.
I like the title of one of these, The Zero Hour Threat. It's a video game to raise the SAT and the ACT test.
Yes, indeed.
I just might log on to see what that one's about.
Well, this is where the Army's gone to the subject matter experts in order to get something that's in the format that these youngsters can and will use, and they're welcome to do that. The other neat aspect of this program is they can choose to have a mentor, and they can authorize a mentor to have access to show them how they're doing in this program. They don't have to do that, and it requires the student to authorize a mentor, either a teacher, a friend of the family, a family member, or some other adult, give them access to let them check up on how they're doing in this particular program, so it doesn't stand alone.
When looking at at this, is it geared solely to the college-bound kid, or is this geared to every kid?
It's geared to every kid to provide them an opportunity to flourish and have success in whatever they choose to do, and to open up avenues for them that they may not feel they have access to without regard to their school itself, their environment, their family, their home, any of those things.
If you were talking to a group of kids today, or their parents, because, Neil, what I see is a severe breakdown with parents and their kids. They're not engaged anymore as deeply as they should be with what's going on with their own kids. But if you were talking to the kids and the parents about why to go and log on to March for Success, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that this provides an opportunity for them to rehearse, to get familiar with testing procedures, process, formats, those sorts of things. They don't walk into an exam cold. It also provides a whole module on college preparation. So whether that's financial, things that are available, how to prepare for that, how to conduct your interviews, all of those sorts of things. It is a comprehensive look at a successful route for kids. And I'm sold on the program, and I'm just trying to get the word out to as many people as possible. And in fact, both the school district and Shelley has graciously listened to my pitch, along with many other superintendents and facilitators and administrators throughout the region. And we're trying to get them more comfortable with the fact that this is an attempt to help them in their efforts to provide that road to success for our kids.
It's not just the military that's having the same issues, and law enforcement, public safety type of entities. Corporate America is actually finding themselves in the same dilemma.
Indeed.
Qualified candidates take these good paying jobs because the kids are not ready and they're not prepared to step into those jobs or to even step into the training to get those jobs. I look at this as a national security issue, not just for the military, not just for law enforcement, but for the economic stability of this nation. Would the military share that same view?
I think we do, and that's the seriousness of the situation. And we haven't even talked about emergency situations like a major conflict, historically like World War II, where the nation absolutely went to war. Most of us don't consider that we've been a nation at war, even though we've been at war for more than 16 years now in Afghanistan and Iraq. But it sometimes is an uphill fight just trying to establish a baseline for that. But if there were a national emergency, that small and dwindling pool would have to be expanded by some means. I'm not saying that that would change the standards, but perhaps it would be necessary to change the standards. So we haven't even looked at it in that regard. So we want to try to change those circumstances before we have any kind of emergency that we have to answer to.
I do a lot of reading to 3, 4, 5-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily involved in the Head Start program. I truly believe that early childhood education is where it all starts.
Absolutely.
The sooner you can get a kid interested and motivated in learning, the better off they'll be throughout their entire life. And the thing that I tell these kids, I tell them, I'm going to give you a secret. And I'll tell them the secret 3 times because, as you know, it usually takes 3 times before it actually sinks into our heads, that the most important thing that they will ever learn how to do is to read and write. Because if you can't read and write, you can't really do any of the other stuff. You know, some people would go, well, math. You can't do math problems if you can't read the math problem.
Particularly if it's put in a scenario format like it is on most ACTs and SATs.
Exactly. reading and writing is critical across the board. I talked to a group of junior high kids getting ready for their, you know, career planning and things like that. I told them the same thing. It's the reading and writing, folks. It's the most important thing that you'll learn how to do. The teachers came up afterwards and said, thank you. Somebody had to tell them that.
Right.
I think that what this March to Success is one of those programs that we need to do our best to get more and more information out about it and get more and more kids into it, because they're not prepared, and we need to get them ready for real life. Besides logging on, is there any other avenue, mentorship or anything else, that the program provides? Let's say a kid doesn't have that support at home. They don't have that mentorship at home. How is there anything that you know of attached to that program that can help these kids that want to succeed, but, you know, they're basically on their own?
I would offer that any place that they can get to this program, their public libraries, their school library and their school librarians, their teachers, their coaches, others that we're trying to reach with this message will help them get online in some manner to do that. I guess when I look at it, I don't particularly care for the labels that people put on kids and these generations, et cetera. But Dr. Morris Massey is quite a renowned author on what's going on with kids. And he says, you are what you were when, to get to your point about how we grew up, how we were coached, taught, mentored, loved, and able to do what we need to do. It's just a matter of doing that right. But now it's the net gen. They are familiar with the net. That's the way the Army has decided to go about this, to reach the most number of people it can. And we hope that this message gets out loud and clear. We are here to help, and no obligation whatsoever to the youth.
So, folks, if you know of a kid, or your kid is getting ready for making those decisions about school, college, and things like that, go online, March, MARCH, 2, 2, success, and start getting them ready. Because this is becoming a critical issue, not just for the military, not just for law enforcement, but for this nation in general. We are not preparing our kids well enough to survive in the real world. Neil, thank you for being on the program. I'd like to have you back and talk about other issues in the future. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.
Honor and a pleasure. Thanks, Sheriff.